gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The pit bull of healthcare reform, Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York, in hour number three. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Jim has started the morning in a mood. He's already talking back to the TV.
Yes, yeah. He is.
Yeah, it's like, stop putting these idiots on and creating.
Conferring legitimacy on these jerks. Yeah. Pretending to be,
But it does. The media creates the impression that this is the majority of the
huge grassroots movement and the majority
against
of people,
healthcare.
Blah blah blah. It's crap. It's absolute crap. And they're showing Schmuck Grassley on there, that turncoat.
Oh, we'll get to that in a moment. Yes. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary. Yesterday.
I don't think the president believes, though, that when all is said and done, that that most people will make their decisions on something that is false and something that has been said it's false.
They do.
Let's hope so.
Hypnotized by TV.
Well, yeah, and Chuck Grassley yesterday said, yeah, there is something to fear about this end-of-life provision.
That's the next soundbite. When you've got a Republican senator who was part of crafting the bill telling the same lies at town hall.
There's some fear because in the House bill, there's counseling for end-of-life. From that standpoint, you have every right to fear. You shouldn't have counseling at the end-of-life. You ought to have counseling 20 years before you're going to die. You ought to plan these things out. And, you know, I don't have any problem with things like living wills, but they ought to be done within the family. Yeah. We should not have a government program that determines you're going to pull the plug on grandma.
And we won't. God, what a
so
jerk.
Let me get this straight. So if you don't do it,
Obama pals
first of all,
terrorists.
First of all, how do you know when you're going to die?
You don't know when you're going
to
die.
You should do it 20 years before you die.
Exactly 20 years to the day before you die, you should do
this. Okay,
things.
So let me get this straight.
And
so
no
if you don't,
involved.
If you don't, it's too late. So you can't have end of life counseling because it's too late. Then you should have planned ahead. Oh,
What about if you have a terminal disease and you need to talk to your doctor about hospice care?
Well, and the other thing that's so disingenuous about this is it's not a government plan. It's just an option that you can...
You can turn it down if you want.
And that... What's his name? The guy from Virginia who did the... Was it Virginia who did... put in the end of life, came up with this. So, he's turned out to be a Quisling, too. He's jumping down the president's throat.
Anyway.
After he, praised them both... in a speech the day before, they turn on him. Probably
at
the behest of the insurance industry.
Yeah, the real reason, what could turn the whole healthcare debate, Jim, that could get us all healthcare, it's if the president would go on the factor. That's the whole
Millions thing. Of Americans are now skeptical of President Obama's leadership on healthcare because he has not been able to persuade them that his trillion-dollar vision will make their lives better. It's as simple as that. Now, one way to persuade them is to appear on the nation's highest-rated primetime news program.
Or he could go on The Factor.
And Fox News in general. Again, the Democrats should be all over this network. Most of us here want robust debate.
Sure you do.
But they don't show up.
Yeah.
Claire McCaskill was on The Factor last night.
Right.
So Democrats are showing up.
Yeah.
What the hell is he talking about?
Maybe Obama should go on Fox.
So Bill O'Reilly can yell at him? Why is it more than three pages? I don't get it.
I don't understand it. Nobody understands. How are you going to understand this? You just want to kill grandma.
All right.
You're right wing too.
Look, he can't win, even when the economy, by all the signs, according to most top economists, the recession is ending. With the economy's turning around, Senator Mitch McKinless can't give the president credit.
I don't think the actions of the administration have had a whole lot to do with this.
Of course not.
But look, if the economy is getting better, we're all happy about that.
Of course we are.
You are.
We are all happy.
Well, we just have to acknowledge that it's George Bush who turned the economy around.
Clearly.
From behind us in his gated community down there in Texas.
Dana Perino tried that a few weeks ago. Remember that sound clip? Yeah, that it's if it's the economy's rebounding, it's because of George Bush.
Yeah.
Oh.
She may be the only one in the former Bush administration that would give Bush credit anymore.
Ooh, like here, Dick Cheney is about to turn.
Dick Cheney's about ready to turn on George W. Bush.
Hey, pipsqueak, why don't you go bleep yourself?
All right. Dean writes, hey, Stephen the Mooks, did that woman who accosted Arlen Specter about wanting to return to the good old Constitution ever consider that in 1789 she would not have had the vote? Yeah, she might have been welcome at the meeting. She wouldn't have been welcome at the meeting. She would have been home making tallow candles or running her husband's underwear over the washboard.
Right. Lawrence O'Donnell was on Hardball last night. He just put her through the ringer. I mean, in a really nice, gentlemanly way.
Yeah.
And she obviously was reading from a script and had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah. All right. Tommy in Columbus with some fun facts. Class, what have we learned? Do not tell lies about one of the smartest people on the planet. When Investors Business Daily attempted to scare readers away from socialized medicine by claiming Stephen Hawking wouldn't be alive today if he relied on the British healthcare system, they neglected a couple of things. Number one, Hawking does rely on the British National Health Service. Number two, Hawking can speak for himself. I wouldn't be here today if it were not for the NHS. He said, I have received a large amount of high-quality treatment, without which I would not have survived. Thank you, Tommy.
The fact that I do not speak with a British accent shall not make any difference.
Well, even his computer voice has a slight British accent.
No, it's a Swedish accent. All his computer voices sound Swedish.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I sound like I am Swedish.
Okay.
It is just programmed that way.
Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
I teach at Oxford, you moron.
Actually, it's Cambridge.
British.
Cambridge?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. Try. All right. Brad and Angelina dish about their sex life. Last week, Brad Pitt set tugs wagging when he told Parade that the secret stone grotto behind a waterfall in his pool is a great place for sex. Now Angelina Jolie says that's not their only secret hideaway. She says, well, we have a few special places. You keep it going. Pitt also said he and Jolie rarely fight.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. We have, do we have Brad?
We have Brad.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got some great secret places for doing the nasty, like the secret stone grotto behind the waterfall in my pool. Ow! You're right, Angie, I guess it's not secret anymore. Ah. Then there's the oubliette between the second and third floors. Not sure why that's there. Some creepy old Hollywood guy probably stashed his victims' bodies in there. Then there's the basement dungeon where Angelina shows me who's boss by finding creative ways to mangle my man bits while making me guess what the safe word is. Trust me, it's never Mizrahi. I tried that. Followed by a couple of days of applying ice to my yam sack. And sometimes we just roll around on the kitchen floor covered in spanakopita and tzatziki sauce.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait. That was with Jen. Ow! Don't you ever mention that cheap Greek whore in my presence, or I swear I will cut you! It's all in good fun. We just like to keep it exciting. Somebody help me. Somebody please help me. I don't want to die.
He wants to live. Okay. Oh, well, that's a sad headline. Focus on the Family faces serious shortfall.
Oh, no.
Oh, guess they shouldn't have spent all that gay-bashing money. A serious budget shortfall at Focus on the Family has prompted the conservative Christian group to issue a special fundraising plea. Oh, let me check my pocket. Oops, nothing. And contributed to a decision to cede control of its contentious Love One Out conferences about homosexuality to another religious organization. They announced they will no longer stage the Love One Out conferences, by the way, quote, help men and women dissatisfied with living homosexually understand that same-sex attractions can be overcome. The events will go on, staged instead by Exodus International Network of Ministries, whose core message is freedom from homosexuality through the power of Jesus Christ.
Until they run off together in a really gay way.
Specifically, the American Psychological Association.
Yeah. Computer says no.
Yeah, not so much.
Says that's actually quite dangerous to try and turn someone straight.
Okay, we have James Dobson.
On the Situation Room.
Yes.
Good evening. Welcome to The Situation Room. I'm Wolf Blitzer. Our guest this hour, now that we're not letting boozy radio slags appear on this network, is the Reverend James Dobson, founder and president of Focus on the Family. Reverend Dobson, let's get right to it. They say you're broke. Can you give us some perspective?
That's correct, Wolf. It seems that secular humanist Indonesian Barack Obama has prevailed upon our congregations to hold off on contributing to us. As a result, our missionary projects, especially our homosexual cure, have suffered dearly from lack of funds. I'm especially disappointed that our Love One Out project will suffer. We need desperately to minister to our poor, deluded homosexual brethren, and that takes money, I fear, for them.
What do you plan to do to take up the slack? How can you overcome your lack of funds? What will you do to show the Mo's the error of their ways?
Why, I will do what every loving father does to rein in the excesses of his wanton child. I'll show them my penis.
No. Ding. What is? There you go.
What do you think of that? Don't be too judgmental. It looks lots better in the shower.
Go to commercial quick. Dr. Dobson, put that thing away and don't point it at me ever again. How am I supposed to know where that's been?
Oh, all right. My son, I sense a deep unhappiness in you. Are you a closet f***er? Tell Uncle James he's a good boy.
No, it's the consequence of my diet of hard cheese and drywall. I haven't had a bowel movement since the Johnson administration. The Andrew Johnson administration.
My son, we can help you. If you come to Jesus, Jesus will unplug you and let you breathe again.
What can you use to clear away my problem?
My penis, of course.
Cut! Cut! Get Stephanie Miller on the phone. Anybody but this creep. I just think I'm going to barf.
Okay, that's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you like more Jim Ward, Paul Rawl.
Jim Ward's a pocketful but true. Check out the tile ad at stephaniemiller.com and buy the album, why don't you? Thank you.
I'm not sure I can ever use the again now that it's become associated with
James Dobson.
James Dobson's
flashing his
tiny
junk. His micro junk.
Let me get my magnifying glass. Oh, that's cute.
Oh.
All right. Wow. Here's some shocking news. Britney Spears' parenting skills, not so good.
Oh. You could have seen that coming.
Mm-hmm. The Superficial.com writes, seen here yesterday in her braless side boob slip splendor.
Oh, no.
Britney Spears took her kids to a free swag event where they adorably swore like pirates, according to the New York Daily News. While the singer picked up goodies at a swag suite in L.A. last week, Sean Preston 3 and Jaden James 2 shot guests by reportedly yelling, oh,
S-word?
S-word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did Britney respond to her son's antics? Said the source, she was too busy picking out freebies to chastise the boys for misbehaving.
Oh, boy.
Hmm. Her skills are kind of exactly what you actually think they'd...
It's almost like she brought a baby in a bar.
She's done that, too.
Yes. Look at you! You have a baby! In a bar!
All right, speaking of babies, there are lots of them. Kate of John and Kate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She has some she has some feelings about Regis Philbin. We'll tell you about
Next.
Yes.
I'm out of control.
Yes.
Apparently he was.
That's the story. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. What do you call it? Kate from John and Kate plus 8.
Whatever.
And also Flavin.
Yeah, you'd never heard of them until John Fugelsang brought them up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never. Ever. The 8 kids with the... What channel is this on?
TLC.
Okay. Good.
Do you know what channel TLC is?
No.
Okay, great.
Okay. If it's not MSNBC, I don't know where it is. Okay.
It's short for the Learning Channel.
Used to be. There's not much learning going on there.
No. Regis Philbin managed to catch the reality star off guard when she taped a segment on his show. He went off script and bluntly asked her whether she could see herself reconnecting with her husband, who's out apparently banging 20-year-olds, one after the other.
Many
apparently.
Of them. Wearing,
a bunch.
Wearing lots of Ed Hardy shirts, too.
Yeah. Oh, she's...
Just because he had a TV show.
Wow.
She's a reality show on TLC.
Yeah.
I can't and won't answer that. She said, I keep certain things private, and that's one. I guess private as you can when you have a reality show, which tends to put your entire life on display.
How dare you invade my privacy? Look at me.
Yeah.
You bastard. What are you looking at? Look at me.
That has a reality show about their life and marriage and family just say I keep certain things private? Which things would those be? Just the actual bowel movement? Like, is there anything that's actually private? Or Philbin said, I think you and your husband will get back together and live happily ever after.
Oh.
I think everything's going to work itself out. He'll say he's sorry, that he loves you, and everything will be good. A shocked Kate had no response.
And you'll win $1 million.
And then the show cut to commercial break.
Good.
Awkwardly.
Yeah.
All right. Chris, here's a movie you won't be seeing. Warner Brothers is building a Lego movie. Since you are, Lincoln Log movie?
If they do a Lincoln Log movie, I wouldn't watch it. But Legos, I used to love Legos. Because you couldn't mess those up.
But there's no right
way. The Lincoln Log, if it didn't look like on the box, you would throw it across the room.
Yeah, if you couldn't build a cabin like the one on the front of the box, what's the use of playing with them?
Mm-hmm. You were a famously anal and...
High-strung child,
yes. As you've grown into a famously anal and high-strung adult.
And therefore, I'm a producer.
That's your only choice left in life.
Yes.
All right. Our buddy, our pal Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman,
mm-hmm.
whom we know. Who's been to my Christmas party along with Elvira.
Yes. They came with each other.
I know you are, but what am I?
It really was like a Fellini film. People would walk in, they're like, is that Pee Wee and Elvira? I'm like, uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Computer says, yeah.
Yes.
Is that George Takei?
And George Takei was there, and Meathead.
And Rob Reiner. Yes.
Rob Reiner and Mike Farrell.
Mike Farrell was there.
He was extremely tall. I just remember looking... looking El Capitan or something.
He has announced that he will be playing Pee Wee in a new stage show at the Music Box Theater out here at the Fonda Theater in Hollywood. The Pee Wee Herman Show will run November 19th through the 29th.
Very cool.
Maybe we'll get him on the phone to talk about it.
I'm trying to use the phone!
He's not good on the phone, though. Maybe he'll come in the studio with Elvira.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
All right.
They'd have to dress in the costumes, though, even though it's radio.
Don't make him do that. It's at 6 in the morning. Come on.
Jim just wants to see the boobies. Okay.
You can't miss them.
Well, hey, do a search on the internet, you can see all of us. What?
Doesn't want you to know that.
Okay.
Speaking of show business excitement, Jim, you know where it all is in Grand Rapids at Calvin College, where Ernest Borgnine and Fred Thompson are apparently keeping the set lively while shooting the Genesis Code at Calvin College there.
Yikes.
Fred Thompson filmed a scene with Louise Fletcher from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Cool.
And Fred Thompson. Fred let a couple of zingers go, Jim. Oh boy, I bet you were working on this set. He said, I've played plenty of lawyers before, but not a judge. Someone asked if I ever wore the robe before, and I said only when the judge wasn't looking.
What?
This robe will get out of hand, and will get out of hand quickly. We'll be lucky to survive it.
Ernest Borgnine said, I'm having a good time here, stumbling around like an old drunk, he joked. These are the jokes, folks. Okay. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I guess I was inspired by
Stephanie Miller,
the woman who lived on the next farm over. She used to have sex with men, and they'd give her things in return. She was just the epitome of class and style.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim and Madison on the healthcare debate. Hi, Jim.
Hi. There's a lot of lies being put forth by the right, but they might actually believe some of this. They believe that the plan might kill grandma, and here's how it goes. If grandma does end-of-life planning, that shows that she doesn't have belief in the second coming or the rapture, and she will die.
Mm. That could be. Maybe that's their reasoning.
The side of it then is, why spend money on people who aren't going to be raptured? So that's why they're opposing these plans.
Exactly. Does the plan include rapture helmets? Who knows? Jim and Everett, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
How are you doing? I went to the town hall meeting at the Everett ball field last night.
Mm-hmm.
And they have done a good job on the right of putting out a lot of lies and disinformation and basically scaring people half to death. And I think this is a real blow to America.
Well, yep. I mean, I look, I agree with you, but I we'll see. I haven't given up hope yet. I do think that the media does tend to distort this, like Jim was saying earlier, that, you know, this is the problem, is this is what gets media attention.
Right.
They put any of these idiots on TV, and everyone goes, oh, everybody's all really upset about the blah,
and
blah.
The strategy.
Yeah.
Republicans have been very media savvy since...
Yeah, I think we were mentioning, I haven't gotten confirmation or not on whether this is true, that CNN won't put radio hosts on anymore. But, like Jim said, they put on a quote-unquote real housewife.
Yes.
It's like they didn't even know who was the head of the Republican Party in whatever county she was from. It's just a... All right. The raucous protests at congressional town hall meetings have succeeded in fueling opposition to proposed health care bills among some Americans, according to a new USA Today Gallup poll, particularly independents. 34% surveyed say the sometimes heated protests by members of Congress have made them more sympathetic to the protesters' views. 21% say they are less sympathetic. Independents by 2-1, 35-16% say they are more sympathetic to the protesters now. One representative said, right now these protesters are beating up on members of Congress, and the members of Congress are the least sympathetic people on earth, but there's a point where people say, okay, this is not the way I'd like to see decisions made in this country. So that's the whole thing, is how what's going to happen when we actually get to September?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is obviously a lot of heat and noise, it's getting on TV, but I'm like, you know, somebody, I guess a lot of the Congress people have said to us, people do have questions. That's fine. It's just the problem is so much of this is manufactured and they're right-wing talking points and they're, you know, people with vested interests like the insurance companies that are trying to keep things the same way that
And questions aren't being asked in a grown-up way. They're being shouted and, you know, there's
they're
no
not
way
looking
that...
for answers.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat of Maryland, at a town hall yesterday.
The question is, under your and the Congress's involvement in our lives, you've racked up $12 trillion of debt.
Yeah.
You're adding to it now.
What?
Structurally,
no.
The USA Today report put this out. We're $99 trillion in debt.
What?
How are you going to look at my children in their eyes and tell them they're going to have a better future with $99 trillion? Say it with me. $99 trillion.
How did they arrive at
you
that?
Did, and your cohorts up there on Capitol, how are you going to look at my children?
I think this is a very important question. I think this is, first of all, as far as an important question, I think it's an important question as to the debt. If we don't get health care costs under control, our national debt will continue to grow. Health care reform that brings down the growth rate of health care costs will help our children and grandchildren in affording health care and having less debt. I said before, and I'll repeat again, I am not going to vote for any bill that adds to the national debt.
But you can kill grandma. You're going to have a 99 love balloons.
They think of the Nina song.
You can't.
Wow.
I mean, when they throw numbers like that out there that you have never heard before, that because they don't exist, how do you fight that?
Right.
Well, he should have.
Because he doesn't have facts.
This,
you know,
I mean,
he should have challenged that. He should have challenged that. What? Where did you get that?
Yeah.
Really?
Exactly.
Show me the article.
Yeah, and what percentage of it was run up by the Bush administration on the unnecessary war and the unnecessary tax cuts for the top
1%? And how much of it is just now being reported because the Bush administration was hiding all the military expenditures for Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right. And that's the thing, is that now something we desperately need in this country and have needed for years, health care reform,
now
they're spinning
it
like we can't afford it. When how many times can they say that I'm not going to vote for something that adds to the deficit? This isn't even something that adds to the deficit. If you're looking at you know, the proposals that are being put forward, he made the good point of saying it's going to bring health care costs down.
Reducing health care costs. Communism.
That's your answer?
Kenyon.
Yeah, do you get the feeling a lot of these people, they just...
Kill him!
They may be just enjoying the attention. Like, so what, a lot of these people want to run for president. It's just these guys want to get on, you know, soapboxes. And
you see all these people reading scripts up there as they're asking them a question. Well,
I believe that, according to the
They have no comprehension of what they're reading.
Yeah, here's a there's an article I was reading yesterday that town halls, people, not supposed to be scream therapy.
It's,
Wasn't that there some kind of therapy like that at one point?
Primal scream therapy.
Yes. Well, that's not, the healthcare reform was not meant to be debated like that.
John Lennon,
you could do that
a whole
at home.
Album of that.
Yeah. Aren't you supposed to take a Nerf bat or hit your pillow?
Whomper stomper.
Yes. Yeah. Americans are taking to town hall meetings across the country to vent frustration. Why the vicious tone? Some of the nation's rowdiest town hallers say it feels therapeutic. Well, so would going to the bathroom, but you can do that in the privacy of your own home, too. And at least they were accomplishing, they felt like at least they were accomplishing something. But according to anger management experts, the relief that screaming matches offer is only temporary. Yes, and it serves to drown out the actual debate.
Right.
Anger management expert Stephen Stosny said, points out that primates, and human beings, especially men, were designed to roar at the sign of danger, but it's meant to warn, threaten, and intimidate a saber-toothed tiger, not express opinions about health care reform. I mean, Jim makes fun of it, but that clip we just played, that's literally their response to him making a good point.
By lowering health care costs.
No!
Will an August-long scream-a-thon eventually lead to a civilized debate over a healthcare reform?
Civilized debate!
Don't bet on it, experts say. Regular anger outbursts can be habit-forming. Yeah, that's what you see, what is leading to just more people doing it.
Yeah.
You know, drowning out the actual debate. Senator Ben Cardin at the same
time. You're not putting us and our children and grandchildren in debt.
I think that the Obama administration has already started to restore trust in health care by the...
Kenyon! Tommy Kenyon Nazi! Kill him!
I'm sad for our country.
You know, have you ever been in a relationship and it's the, you know, it's the, what do they call it, the argument over the cap being off the toothpaste? That's what this is. Do you get that this is not really about health care?
Yeah.
This is about some deeper issues.
Yeah.
You
need to be worked out. Yeah.
Well,
like, in case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yeah.
It's things like that.
I think there's some people who want to refight the Civil War.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Okay, Vitas in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Vitas.
Hi there.
Hello.
I read it on the internet, Stephanie. There's mandatory lobotomies for all Republicans. It's going to be the law.
That sounds like a good idea, actually. Well, it's actually too late for a lot of them.
Yeah. How do you refute something? You know, if someone yells something like that at a town hall, how do you refute that?
Yeah.
Because you can't pull.
No,
okay.
And you're an idiot.
Well, I mean,
I
can see the frustrations that these Democratic lawmakers are having at these town halls.
Why don't they just set up rules that there has to be certain ground rules for these town hall meetings?
Yeah.
And if you don't play by the rules, out you go.
I mean, even Charles Krauthammer yesterday said that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want.
People from time to time ask me when I go to these events, why don't you? Are you going to run for something someday? And I know. That's exactly why, what Jim just said, because I don't have the decorum. I would say you are an idiot.
Yeah.
You fell out of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down. That's what I wouldn't be able to be senatorial.
Well, that and your drinking solution might keep you from running for office.
Yes. 42 minutes after the hour.
The State of the Union is...
All right. Lord. Okay. Senator Chuck Grassley.
Schmuck Grassley.
Yes. Putting fourth more lies at a town hall yesterday. We'll be back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Cub reporter Chris Lavoie has some breaking
Wheels of right-wing hypocrites!
News for us this morning. Yes, Chris?
La Jolla hotel developer Doug Manchester put up $125,000 to collect signatures for Prop 8. He's divorcing his wife.
Huh. I guess he doesn't believe in the sanctity of marriage.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah. Let's go to...
The gays destroyed his marriage, apparently.
Apparently?
Yep.
Good job. Good job, everybody. Okay, Justin in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Mooks.
Hello.
I love the show.
Thank you.
I just had a quick comment. I just wanted to share with you that I went to Catholic school my entire life.
Me too.
All right. Well, I'm a recovering Catholic at this point.
Mm-hmm. Check.
The nuns would always say to us when we'd get rowdy, especially the boys, they'd say, empty cans make the loudest noise. And I think that's a fairly apt description.
That sounds like a nun saying.
Yeah, and it really applies to these people. They have nothing to say, so they just scream.
Yep.
And that eliminates the discussion.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you've heard, I'm sure, Justin, these last few does is playing these clips of the town halls. That's all it is. It's just yelling. They're not even...
That's right.
They're not there to engage in a discussion, and that's why we need Sister Mary Oliphant.
Good morning, class. Good morning, class. Class. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, empty cans.
I just have to remember to turn my volume down just before.
Sorry.
That.
Trey in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Anyone that grew up during the 70s already knew to do that, Jim.
It's only,
it's only the youngsters didn't see that coming. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Stephanie the Mooks. Love you guys.
Thank you, Dave.
I was just wondering if all these tools at the town hall meetings, understand that they're just doing the dirty work for all these rich CEOs and these pharmaceutical companies. These guys, these poor saps who were trying to help out, they're out there making asses of themselves on TV.
Trey, can't you see it? Trey, can't you see these guys making $100,000 an hour laughing their ass off in their mansion watching these town halls?
Like the Austin Powers character, whoever he is, with the pinky in his, like the laughing at the whole thing. Like,
right.
Thanks for raking the dough for me, guys.
Right. Pretty soon I'm going to be making $1 million an hour if these idiots keep screaming. Mm.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Mm-hmm. They'll be able to afford that,
that's
too.
That's been going on since the Reagan administration. Who you voted for?
Yeah, thanks, Steph.
Yeah, it's my fault. All right.
Did you campaign for him? Like, go door to door?
No.
No?
No. I was just some dope at USC.
All right.
All the popular people are voting for Reagan.
Yeah, that's exactly what you did.
Will boys like me if I vote for Reagan?
You know, might have been a little bit of that, to be honest.
Oh, no.
I remember doing the honking at someone with a Reagan bumper sticker and giving the thumbs up. Because remember, it was that sort of, it was that happy, like, oh, it's morning in America thing. And then,
wow.
Listen, at least I'm admitting it.
I voted for Perot the first time instead of Clinton. So
well, oh, great. See, you're a moron too. All right.
I would have voted for Kennedy if he'd gotten the nomination.
Senator Chuck Grassley played to packed crowds across the state, who left little doubt that they're not happy with what's on the table. Just spontaneously showed up. Here's the difference I notice in the town halls: the questions were tough but respectful. There was little of the shouting that dominated other meetings. See, this is in Kansas. Republican Representative Lynn Jenkins faced a friendly crowd, drawing applause when she listed the flaws she sees in the legislation. And again, Jim, because you've said this before, they organize better than we do. You know, they've started this a long time ago, these Freedom Works and whatever these other groups are. So that's the problem, is I don't think we're organizing enough. People that want to have a meaningful debate, they aren't going to these things. They're the people
Democrats
that support it, I think, aren't going.
Democrats are always surprised. This is Charlie Brown with a football, but they would never do. They did it again. Hey, not fair. No, it's not fair. But
well, you know, the other thing that struck me was Chuck Grassley.
A strategy to fight back.
You don't have to have the right wing lunatics yelling out the right wing talking point lies. The senator's doing it for them.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. There is going to be a death panel. I heard somebody yesterday called Grassley's office, and the woman answered the phone said. You know, he said, oh, they're going to, are these death panels? They're
absolutely. There's
yes, there
panel.
Are. Yes, there will be.
Wow.
Chuck Grassley.
We're here at a time when I sense that people are scared for our country.
And I sense that because I'm saying things like that there will be death panels. Then suddenly, I don't know why people are so scared. Oh,
God.
I'm not going to do anything that's going to nationalize health insurance. Nationalize health care in America. I don't intend to do anything that'll allow government bureaucrats to get between you and your doctor.
Much better for insurance agency bureaucrats to get between you and your doctor, especially after you've paid out all that money and then they drop you.
Here's a little FYI, suckers. GTK, the president won't either. Yeah. That's exactly the president's plan, too. Okay, and then he went on to tell the lie again that there is going to be a death panel. Essentially, we should not have a government program that determines if you're going to pull the plug on grandma. Okay, and then we played this at the top of the show, but it's a little inexplicable to me. He said, you shouldn't have counseling at the end of life. You ought to have counseling 20 years before you die. You die, because apparently we all know exactly when we're going to die and when 20 years will be.
And find out exactly the day you're going to die.
And if you miss that,
20 years before,
then screw you. Then you're not allowed to talk to the doctor.
Then you're un-American.
Yes. Senator Chuck Grassley at the town hall again.
Like I said, I'm a dumb Southern Iowa redneck, and I see nowhere in the Constitution where health care is a right.
We would have a bill through the United States Senate, probably not one I would have voted for. But so if anybody's criticizing me for negotiating, you've got 6 weeks to look at a bill that you wouldn't otherwise have, and I don't think that you would have, I'd have 150 people at my town meeting, or maybe 300 people here at my town meeting.
You know, there isn't anything in the Constitution saying health care is a right, but there should be. We have the right to life, liberty, and
happiness.
Yeah, isn't
that life?
Yeah,
it's
life. Think health would have something to do with that.
Yeah, before you could even get to liberty and happiness, it would seem.
Yeah.
All right, Chuck Grassley, one more.
I totally want health care coverage for everybody and some kind of national approach to it, but I don't want to rush into it. I'm not saying single health care. I'm saying I want to have a system that covers everybody.
No!
No!
Don't cover everybody! I want to die!
Somewhere Truman spinning in his grave. As the dopes on TV talk about rushing into health care reform.
I have the right to not have health insurance and die in miserable agony. You can't take that away from me with your national commie plan.
Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Roz.
Thanks. Well, if these people would stop screaming and shouting and shut up, they may learn something, especially those people that are satisfied with their health insurance. About 90% of them are covered by an employer plan.
Right.
The employer, unless you have a contract that obligates them legally to keep insurance, the employer owns the policy. They can drop it at each renewal date, even if you pay a certain amount into your own health care.
Oh, so, I know. Listen, Chris pissed me off yesterday, and I almost dropped him from our health insurance plan. See, it's just on a whim like that, from some drunken slag, you can lose your health care, Roz. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, from what I've read of the health care reform bill, they're not going to be allowed to drop that. You can keep that insurance. The employer isn't going to be able to just arbitrarily drop insurance.
Wow. Well, I'm not for that. I want the ability to drop Chris in a drunken rage some night if I feel like it.
Okay, now let's go to the abortioners then. You're in a mean mood there. I can tell, Steph. Well, these people are so pro-life. Well, what do you do with the premature child that's born and has to have extensive hospital care after it gets here?
Right.
Does it have a right to life after it's born?
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. This makes no sense. I was just kidding, by the way.
You've dropped me before.
I would just fire you entirely.
You're fired.
I know, but I always reinstate it on Monday when I sober up.
Yeah, let's just hope I don't get hit by a bus during the weekend.
Only if you had some sort of horrific farming accident over the weekend. All right. Okay. By the by, a new study suggests that optimistic women... That's me. Live longer and healthier.
Be talking about that later.
When have you ever been optimistic?
I'm a shiny... this is the home of happy, clappy liberalism. You're dropped from healthcare again.
Oh, no.
57 minutes after
the hour.
You go
play in traffic now, and then you'll feel bad.
That study is next in stand-up news on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Elliot Engel, the pit bull of health care reform, Democrat of the great state of New York, on the Celebrity Hotline next hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Hunter in Chicago did. Staff, I'm telling you, just play Steve Carell's newsroom monologue from Bruce Almighty over the town hall rantings.
Right.
You can't tell the difference, which is, but that's exactly what we've been saying.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if I were making a point about the fact that... Okay, thank you. You know what we're talking about.
I still haven't seen that movie.
All right. There are still good guys and bad guys on both sides of the aisle in the health care debate. For instance, Senator Lisa Murkowski is a Republican of the great state of Alaska.
That's right.
It does us no good to incite fear in people by saying that, you know, there's these end-of-life provisions, these death panels. I'm so, quite honestly, I'm so offended at that terminology, because it absolutely isn't. There is no reason to gin up fear in the American public by saying things that are not included in the bill.
Wow. Huh. You mean not all Republican women from Alaska are great big dopes? She's going to get kicked out of the Republican Party soon, isn't she? Goodbye, Senator Murkowski. Thanks for coming.
Well, as long as she says also to you betcha after all of her good points, then, you know.
Wow.
They'll exist.
All right. I guess Sean Hannity didn't get the memo.
For weeks now, the Obama administration has accused politicians, the media, and the general public of engaging in a misinformation campaign against health care reform. But as it turns out, well, that it's actually President Obama who's the one spreading false information.
Oh.
Like what?
Like, for instance... Also, too? Which ones?
I don't know, because my teleprompter just went out, and Mark Levin hasn't called me, so I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm panicking. I wet my pants.
I think he was referring to when President Obama said that AARP supports the health care reform legislation.
Mm-hmm.
AARP.
I think he was referring to the provision about the end-of-life counseling. The AARP supports that provision.
Right.
Thank you.
Hmm.
Okay.
But that would require actually thinking about the topic.
Yes. Okay. More bad news for Republicans as the economy gets better. Lawrence Summers yesterday.
The sense of free fall, of vertical decline has been contained, and that we are beginning to lay a foundation for future growth.
Okay, and the president threw a big party for Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor yesterday.
With her extraordinary breadth and depth of experience, Justice Sotomayor brings to the court both a mastery of the letter of the law and an understanding of how the law actually unfolds in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's what some of the yelling at the town halls is about, Jim, is too many brown people, too many high places.
Erg! I want my country back! Don't you know he's black? Wasn't anybody see it? He's black. Am I the only one?
Oh, my goodness. He's black.
Okay. All right. You know, every once in a while, I like to do a story about someone with a sadder love life than mine. Nigerian man wants to marry his pillow.
Oh. Hmm. If they're in love, why not?
They've been dating since he was 16, apparently.
Oh, with the same pillow? Oof.
Ooh.
Yikes.
All right.
A stuttering Nigerian man who says he can't find a girlfriend has announced his plans to marry his pillow instead. The 26-year-old admits he needs and wants a companion to sleep with, so he says he will marry his pillow because he's been sleeping with it since he was 16 and has fallen in love.
It's the love that dare not speak its name.
Unlike a woman, he says the pillow would cost him little or nothing to maintain.
Or replace.
Yeah.
And he says he plans to spend
the
rest of his life with it.
And he has a Nigerian uncle who has millions of dollars that he wants to give you. If you just send him $100,000 to get the ball rolling.
All right.
Must be true. It was on the internet.
Speaking of sex, you know, Fox is good for one thing, and that is the, I don't know, they give you sex tips for some reason. According to Fox News, there's a
sex tips from Steve Doocy?
From Fox and Freaks? All right.
Glenn Beck.
Give me my porn music. There's some, I don't know. They give you, they always give you lists. These are the most awkward sex moments that you should try to avoid.
Okay.
I don't know how, but sex can be clumsy. Whether accidentally knocking heads, pulling hair, or taking an elbow in the eye, bodies bumping up against one another can get out of control and out of sync. So I don't know what the tip is. Wear a helmet, something? I don't know.
Oh, they don't offer tips? They just say what can go wrong?
Yeah.
Oh.
Number two, a full bladder is no fun. So I guess the Fox is instructing you that you should go.
Some of the freaks who listen to the show apparently would disagree.
Well, that is true.
You reveal your shower peeing.
This one's actually one of my favorites. Not awkward. Naked bodies do make noise. Sweaty bodies can catch air as they rub up against each other,
yeah,
making it sound like someone just ripped one.
Yeah.
I love when that happens. It makes me laugh. And number four, sexual Shakespeares are not made overnight like with so many sex acts. Practice makes perfect. The same goes for erotic talk and expanding your sexual vernacular. A little bit of rehearsal may be required. So maybe you should go in the bathroom and rehearse
and
your dirty talk.
Or write it out beforehand.
Or just, yeah, just read any monologue from Sexual Perversity in Chicago.
Some guys just go a little far. You know, a little sexy talk is good, and then suddenly you're a dirty French whore, and you're like, oh, now you've ruined it.
Dirty Italian whore would have been all right.
Yeah.
What? Oh. All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we?
Yippee! Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. Oh, the headline from the LA Times, sorting out claims about health care legislation. The president's had to do a lot of that recently. For instance, does the legislation include provisions to encourage senior citizens to commit suicide?
Computer says no.
No! It's the Advanced Care Planning Consultation that I just spoke about, Chris, which is endorsed by the AARP, who clearly hates old people. Would the government start paying for abortions?
Computer says no.
No, not in the bill. Would illegal immigrants get free health care benefits?
Computer says no.
Provisions in the House and Senate bills explicitly prohibit people who are not lawfully present in the United States from getting federal aid to help them buy health insurance in the new exchanges. Okay. The president knocking down some more claims.
By the way, this is almost entirely cribbed from The Atlantic.
Oh,
so
okay,
just to avoid legal action. Okay, so there's been a lot of misinformation about proposals to reform the health insurance industry and provide near-universal coverage. Understandable. It's complicated stuff. Herewith, I'll try to answer some questions. Is it true that all the bills currently proposed would end the practice of rescission, whereby health insurance providers refuse to treat customers who paid their premium simply because they've become ill? No. That's a common misunderstanding. Actually, all the bills would ban incisions. That is, they would legally bar surgeons from performing surgery until a panel of 12 gay illegal immigrant government bureaucrats unanimously signed off on the procedure. Number two, is it true that health care reform would ban insurers from refusing to insure people because of pre-existing conditions? Wrong again. To get rid of health inequality, the bills actually mandate that every American be given a pre-existing condition. A national illness commission with academics appointed from Harvard, Reed College, and Berkeley will evaluate each citizen and, based on their demographic profile, choose their malady. Each disease or syndrome is scored on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most severe. White Christian men will receive pre-existing conditions of 8 or higher. Black people, wise Latinos, and ACORN members will be exempted. Number 3. I heard that proposals currently under consideration provide seniors with the option of free counseling sessions under Medicare where they can discuss a living will and end-of-life care. That's a huge misconception. The bills require all senior citizens who are non-union members be euthanized on their 70th birthday under Section 278C. All last rites will be performed by Jeremiah Wright using a Quran. Number 4, I have heard the bills being proposed would require insurers to provide preventative care, like mammograms, free of charge. No, but all lactating mothers will be forced to breastfeed poor children. Talking to you, Angelina. Number 5, will the current bills plug the donut hole in the Medicare prescription drug benefit so seniors don't have to pay exorbitant out-of-pocket expenses for their medication? Absolutely not. The legislation will ban donuts, much to the consternation of certain members of the Cambridge Police Department. You know who you are.
Wow, that's alarming.
Yeah.
And finally, shiny, happy women like me live longer and healthier.
You just said one of the most pessimistic things ever during the break.
No, I'm a shiny, happy person.
No, you're not.
I'm shiny, happy. Optimistic women live longer and healthier lives than their pessimistic peers, a new study suggests. Specifically, researchers found that women who see the glasses half full, Chardonnay, are at a lower risk for developing heart disease and have a lower risk of dying from any cause than those who see the glasses half empty. We have a
scientist.
Yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm.
Our recent research has proved that women with a sunny disposition and a positive outlook live longer and with fewer diseases, which was a point of pride for us. It showed the benefits that optimism can bring and made it okay for goth girls to smile once in a while. We rightly looked at it as a milestone. However, further study has brought up a few drawbacks to this approach to life. It seems that optimistic women sometimes let their optimism cloud their judgment. Yeah, it happens all the time. But it seems that that's Mother Nature's way of making sure that rock drummers, players, and Bill Clinton always have a place to go for aid and comfort. It also seems to be a critical factor in preserving America's two-party political system, since women are the cornerstone of the Democratic base. After 30 years of allowing Republican administrations and Congresses to either ignore women's issues or to actively work against them, you'd think women would turn their backs on the Democrats as they bend over backwards to appease the knuckle-draggers in the name of bipartisanship. Or at least to tell them in no uncertain terms to pick up their socks and get the hell out. Doesn't seem to have happened. Good news for President Obama, though. He's guaranteed re-election, so all you Dem-Fems, no matter how far he strays to Republican territory, just keep the front door unlocked and the refrigerator full of beer. He'll be back. Right! And then the rest of us will have to listen to you complain about what a heel he was, just like all the other times. And they wonder why men are cynical. What happened to women wanting a sensitive man? You know, testosterone poisoning, free to be you and me. Doesn't anybody remember the 70s? No. As soon as Mr. Big Shot shows up, you're wrapped around his little finger. That's it. I'm going home. I'm going to roll up in the fetal position and stuff myself with Haagen-Dazs while listening to the greatest hits of Dan Fogelberg. I hate you so much. Do you remember when Alan Alda...
Not the Fogelberg.
Alan Alda was talking about testosterone poisoning?
Yes.
Traitor.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you like more New Age Jim Ward Calderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true. There's a title ad at stephaniemiller.com. Go right there. Buy the album. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. All right, Jackie in Santa Cruz on the town halls. Hey, Jackie, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, I want to talk about the Civil War. I think Jim said something about it. You know, they're not going to start the Civil War again. They never stopped fighting it.
Yeah, that's true.
They're still fighting it, only it's more than color, and it always has been. It's class. They want a permanent underclass to do their bidding. It's
right.
Like these people are still on plantations. It doesn't matter what color they are. That has nothing to do with it now. They want a permanent underclass. They want people to say yes, massa, no health care, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And these poor, ignorant people fall for it, and they're using them in the most despicable way. And
yep.
It's disgusting.
Yep.
Quote Bob Dylan,
only a pawn in their game.
Exactly. Okay, Pat in Chicago emailed Chuck Grassley yesterday. Hello, Pat.
Yo. A few days ago, Grassley was talking like he had some sense. I mean, he was denying the whole Sarah Palin death panel thing. And then the other day, he gets up and he starts saying that they're going to pull the plug on Grandma.
Yep.
I don't know what happened to him, so I had to email him, and I said, look, I'm going to say this in one-syllable words so we know you understand it. Have you lost your damn mind?
Did you get a response?
Well, not yet. No, I don't really expect one.
Because
it was either that or his handlers got hold of him and said, no, the tail gets to wag the dog, not the other way around.
Yeah.
The money people will tell you what to say.
Yeah, well, it's you know, somebody...
Insurance companies got to him.
Well, exactly. I mean, the fact that you have a Democrat senator that's actually involved in crafting the bill, just stating out and out lies. I mean, that's gotten the... And then you wonder why people are yelling these incomprehensible things at meetings. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, more right-wing spin on the town halls and healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour.
They were the kids in America about 40 years ago. 30 years.
That came out in like 84.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Richard in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Richard. Hello, Richard. Maybe I didn't hit that button right.
No, you didn't.
Okay, Richard, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Richard.
Oh, no.
Richard.
Hello.
Richard.
Hello.
Richard. Let's go to Bobby in Columbus. Hey, Bobby.
Yes, Stephanie, seeing all those people, all the thousands of people lined up for free health care yesterday just broke my heart. And as a Christian, I think health care is a moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to ask all my Christian brothers.
Yeah, what is a more moral issue? I mean, that's really true. That's a great point.
I mean, what would Jesus do? What side would Jesus be on?
He would ask for a bigger copay and make $100,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Right. Mary in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephen Moose. I wanted to tell you, my representative, my congresswoman, Marcia Fudge, in the 11th District in Cleveland, takes me to school. She knows how to conduct a public forum. She had a State of the District meeting last night, public meeting. Teabaggers came in, but they were let know in no uncertain terms that if they could not express themselves in a civil fashion, they would have to leave. And two people were thrown out, and it was a great meeting. Everybody got a chance to speak up, and she had an answer for everything.
Good.
It was a model of what kind of public forum should be held. And if you don't know how to do it, I say everybody should watch Marcia Fudge because she'll school you.
Yep. She'll
yeah.
Ring the bell. School's in, sucker. All right. We found Richard in California. Hello, Richard.
I was just going to say the common advice is that if anybody, you start the meeting and say if anybody is going to yell during the meeting, they'll be removed from the meeting. And that way, if they are actually interested in talking about health advice and they can have a very smooth meeting and the teabaggers or whoever the hell they are can be removed one by one from the meeting.
Yep. That's the thing I want to hear some of the answers to these questions. I mean, this is a complex thing, and like you say, Chris, I marinated it, and some of the stuff I want to hear the answers to as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Terry Holt, a right-wing tool on the Situation Room.
In order to really radically reform health care, it's going to take a ton of money. He's got to raise taxes. He's got to cut benefits. He's got to change the way benefits are delivered in a very fundamental way. And that is no easy thing. You don't rush a thing like that.
No.
And you try to get as many friends as you can. You don't push it through in a partisan way like I think they've tried to up to now.
There's this ad funded by the insurance industry saying that we want a bipartisan bill to change health care, meaning no change at all.
Yeah, exactly. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've given this a lot of thought, and I feel the all G-string
Stephanie Miller
is the wrong direction for this magazine. Instead, we're doing nipple glitter.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
You're having a lot of drops from Just Shoot Me.
Well, maybe that's what got you kicked off of CNN.
Oh, the nipple glitter?
The nipple glitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who knew? 1-800-STEPH-1. I think it was the macaroni.
I think Wolf liked the nipple glitter.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere,
Have you ever been on the Situation Room?
I have not.
Oh,
perhaps because Jim continually implies that Wolf Blitzer is constipated and hasn't had a bowel movement since.
The Johnson administration. The Andrew Johnson administration.
Okay, Tyler in Orange County. I feel it's really Jim that's killing my career.
Yeah.
Tyler in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
First of all, I'd like to say it's fantastic that you wear nipple glitter.
Thank you.
Second, I just had a quick question for you.
Yes.
Why do you feel it's all right for citizens of the United States to protest when they agree with you, but it's not all right when they don't agree with you?
And I said that when, exactly?
I've been listening to your show. I'm actually not an avid listener, but I...
Well, that's your problem.
Oh, okay. I was listening to you, and I was hearing you say that, all these yelling matches and scream matches aren't the way to get things done, which, while I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
that's all you ever hear from the left, to be completely honest.
When would that be?
Let's see, most recent. Well, if you ever go down to San Francisco, they protest all the time in San Francisco. The most recent one I remember was a fossil fuel protest where a bunch of naked bicyclists went and rode bicycles down the street and were just yelling.
Right. Well, there's a difference between a protest outside that, that's different. These are healthcare town halls where specifically they're to answer questions about, a really important issue in America. So wouldn't you agree that's a little different than a protest?
Completely. I completely agree with you. I mean
the point is for constituents to be able to ask questions of their legislator.
And they're shutting them down so they can't.
Yeah, I mean, in the memos that have gone out, and we've seen these, Tyler, say specifically, disrupt, yell, shout out, throw the congressman off. It's not to participate in the debate. Right. It's to shut it down.
No, while I completely agree with you, this yelling nonsense is...
outdoor protests, that's what yelling is for. they're for yelling. That's pretty much what they're about, no matter which side they're on, right? But
the point is
I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is, you go to any of the... And by the way, I'm independent. So when you see any of these Republicans... And saying you always hear Democrats going out there just yelling at them and saying, Bush lied, people died.
And if you notice, the Code Pink people that were doing that were promptly removed from those town hall meetings.
Right.
But there was no opposition from the left. You know, it was like they're doing the right thing, and that's what they should be doing.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, 70% of the American people were against the Iraq War, and obviously it turned out to be an unnecessary war, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think that's okay. Let me just agree with you
just for the sake of argument. We'll just say it was an unnecessary war. Okay.
The point is that these people at the town hall meetings is that they were being goaded by these companies connected to the insurance industry to specifically to disrupt the meeting.
Right. And that's the thing, Tyler. I'm not saying there are people that don't have legitimate concerns about the health care bills that are moving through, the committees right now. I understand that. What I'm saying is a lot of the people that are showing up at these meetings specifically to create YouTube moments and get on TV are not there to do anything but try to shut down any kind of conversation.
Yeah, I feel a lot better now.
Well, so do I.
You know, if the DNC had told Cold Pink go out there and ruin Bush's press conference, then that would be wrong.
Yeah, the DNC gave no such instructions.
Right.
Yes. Oh, trust me, I'm the biggest animal lover in the world and the biggest anti-war person, and sometimes PETA and Code Pink make me wince.
Yes.
A little bit.
But, no.
All right. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good.
I don't know, the one thing about this healthcare debate that's turned out good is that now the Republicans have become pro-choice and they want to keep abortions legal. It's obvious because they say, they don't want government to get involved in people's medical decisions,
and
right?
People's private medical decisions. They would never want to come between you and your doctor.
That sounds like a contradiction.
Yes.
The White House says anyone who painted a swastika on a sign outside the office of a congressman recently involved in a heated debate over health care should be ashamed. The presidential spokesman, Robert Gibbs, said no issue being debated should be compared to the Holocaust. See, that's what I said. I declared a moratorium on Nazi analogies in the health care debate.
But it was also very inarticulate speech.
Yeah.
By painting a swastika, is he implying that this black man is a Nazi, which is absurd?
Yeah.
Or are they saying they're Nazis, we disapprove of you because this is our point of view?
That's probably what it was more like.
Yeah.
Gibbs called the spray painting of a Nazi graffiti outside Democratic Representative David Scott's office in Georgia ridiculous. He said it's a sign that the national debate over health care has gotten completely out of hand. Just a skosh. What was the guy we played earlier yelling the kid numbers? You know, kids make up numbers like kajillion, gabillion, billion, zillion?
Yeah.
What? It would be different if you had a point that were true. But people are just making stuff up and yelling. What did he yell? You're going to $99 trillion. You're putting my kids 99. Say it with me.
It's right here in the National Union Tribune.
It was at the Senator Ben Cardin town hall.
Yeah, listen to this reasoned debate.
The question is, under your and the Congress's involvement in our lives, you've racked up $12 trillion of debt.
Yeah.
You're adding to it now. Uh-huh. Structurally, the USA Today report put this out, we're $99 trillion in debt.
What?
How are you going to look at my children in their eyes and tell them they're going to have a better future with $99 trillion? Say it with me. $99 trillion that you did and your cohorts up there on Capitol Hill. How are you going to look at my children?
I think he was reading The Onion.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a made-up kid number.
Yeah. Say it with me. $99 trillion of debt on the wall. Say it with me.
9,911 gajillion billion million dollars. It's right here.
I believe someone said it's a fun fact. I think there's only $30 or $40 trillion in the world.
Yeah.
I don't.
99 trillion Martian dollars.
But I'm yelling it and I quoted the newspapers. That must be true.
And I'm asking you to say it with me.
That's right. Marmaduke says that it was in the paper that it's.
And Jeffy said, not me.
Dolores in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Hello.
Tell me what you think of this. President Obama invites Limbaugh or O'Reilly or any of those bad boys to a one-on-one health care debate.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Where President O can make mincemeat out of them, or if they refuse, it would show their true colors.
Yep.
And we should have a buzzer sound effect every time they tell a lie.
Exactly.
Progressively louder the more they lie.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. They would never accept that invitation.
Right.
A.B. Stoddard.
Yeah,
she's a Fox and Freak person.
Yeah, she was on the Brett Baer Show.
Yeah, the Brett Baer Show.
I think it's time to kill the public option.
Oh,
finally,
really?
Come out and do it. He knows it's not going to be made law. It's
you did
not
the president.
The president, if he wants a bill by September 15th, we're talking on August 12th here about this sinking. This debate is in free fall. They have lost total control. They're not just on the defensive.
Mm.
It is in free fall. To turn this ship around, if he wants reform, he needs to be honest and forthright about the fact that there won't be a public option. It is the poster child at all these protest rallies. It is a symbol for the bailout, for TARP, for the stimulus bill, for the House passed cap and trade.
Mm.
It is a symbol of government intervention. And if he is honest about the fact that he doesn't have the votes for it and it's never going to be in there, he'll be able to get this back on track, maybe.
Yeah, here's news for you. A lot of that stuff is working.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and obviously the big story recently is that the stimulus is working and the economy is turning around. So, okay. 42 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the town hall meetings, including, Arlen Specter's busting out the jokes now.
Oh, no.
Look out. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, yes, yes, I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to David in San Francisco on the town halls. Hi, Dave.
Hey, morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, it's funny. I was paying attention to this whole C Street thing. And, you know, of course, if you look at the demographics of where they've captured big areas, Oklahoma is a horror because they got two senators and a congressman from there. Then, of course, they got Texas and Kansas. And so they're kind of a big hot spot right down in there. And, in fact, I think there's a congresswoman from southern Missouri there, too. So it's a big demographic. So, you know, the issue that I would think would make the most difference in combating these evil bastards of the family would be to deal with taxation without representation. And when you got a church that's based on faith, telling you how to spend your tax money, there's no accountants. You know, there's just no way. So if these old boys are going to try to, you know, con America into spending their tax money on something you can't prove, you know, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it seems to me that that's one of the best angles to take this, because it's pure constitutional. Taxation without representation. Some TV preacher church comes and tells me, you know, and a guy without a tax status, you know, going to tell me that I have to spend my money on things you can't prove.
All right, honey, I appreciate it. Actually, my favorite breaking news this morning was what you reported earlier, one of the big Prop 8, yes, on Prop 8 guys.
Yeah.
The big pro-family, pro-marriage, get the gays off my marriage guys.
Yes.
He's getting divorced.
Yeah.
Those damn gays made him do it.
Gays
they threatened his marriage.
Gays destroyed his marriage.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly on health care reform.
I think we do need a reform in the health care industry, mm-hmm. but it is chaotic right now, and part of it's the president's fault because he has not been able to articulate in a number of press conferences and expositions what this is all about.
Well, here's the one thing that Jim keeps saying, and I agree with, is to me, we're being too bipartisan. Chuck Grassley is the latest example.
Yeah.
You're going to negotiate with a guy that is actively promoting lies yesterday, like the death panels.
Yeah, yeah. The Republican motto is, you scratch our back, we'll bleep you in the bleep.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
Oh dear. We'll
yes.
we'll bend you over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. President, yeah. listen to Jim DeMint when he says it. They mean it.
Yeah.
This is all they want, is to break you politically, you know. And so I do think that, you know, the president has given the Congress too much leeway. He does need to get behind one plan
mm-hmm.
and use his political popularity
right.
to sell it. I
mm-hmm.
mean, let's face it, you know, Nancy Pelosi, nobody in Congress is popular. You know what I mean? Congress as a whole is not popular. All right. Sean Hannity.
What is this end-of-life counseling really about? Are we really going to be able to keep our private insurance when
yes.
the Congressional Budget Office tells us otherwise?
What?
Are
they
we going to have
otherwise.
A medical database that raises privacy concerns? Who's going to pay for
Come
all
on.
Of this? You notice in the course of all of this that none of these questions get asked. Why do you think that is?
Because the people are shouting
yeah.
so that no one can ask reasonable questions.
The end-of-life counseling is very simple, and he understands it.
Yes, he does.
That's what they do every night, is just making believe like they really don't understand any of this.
He's either a moron or a liar.
He's a little of both.
Yeah,
no, he's a lot of both, actually.
Mm-hmm. He's a big, dumb liar
mm-hmm.
who can read the teleprompter like nobody's business and tweets from Mark Levin, who's even shouting on the tweets.
All right, let's get to...
It's all caps with Mark Levin.
Richard in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
Good. No, I'm happy with my health care. I am a homeless man in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I've been homeless for right around 2 years. They have an excellent program here. I don't know all the politics and the funding and stuff, but they have an excellent program. I got really sick last winter and went to the hospital. They hydrated me. They fixed me up and they patched me up, and they even offered me a motel room, and I refused it because I didn't want to be a suck on society.
Wait, I'm sorry. Richard, did you say you have health care insurance?
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. No.
Oh, you
I
don't?
Have what they have a program here called Health Care for the Homeless,
mm-hmm. huh.
and they take care of us here. And then the hospital, if they know you're homeless, don't get me wrong, it's triage. I mean, they
right.
get you in, they get you out. But they offered me a motel room. And I said, you know, look, I feel better now. I'll go back to my campsite and I'll be happy. Go ahead and give that to somebody else who needs it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a shoulder injury that I'd had years ago on a drilling rig, and I didn't know how bad I injured it. And what they did was the healthcare for the homeless gave me cortisone, lidocaine shots in the shoulder. And not only that, one of the places here in Santa Fe gave me rehabilitation to rehabilitate my shoulder. And so I'm working some. It's difficult here because there's a tremendous amount of undocumented workers. I actually had a job and lost it
mm-hmm.
because the owner of the company, there was a new owner, he bought the company, he got rid of all the Native Americans and he got rid of all the white guys and he hired a bunch, he did this bit by bit, piece by piece, and then hired undocumented workers.
Richard, who pays for the health care for the homeless program? Is that taxpayer funded?
I'm going to have to take a guess on that, but I'm guessing that it's taxpayer funded. Yeah.
I'm guessing if the Republicans have their way, that will be cut if they have anything to say about that.
Well, my fear is if you guys go ahead and pass this new bill, my guess is that all the funding for this will be ripped away, and then homeless people will be put even at a lower base bottom of the list of nationalized health care. I believe the health care will get worse. I believe that the health care will diminish. That is my
belief. Well, I don't know anything about this specific program you're talking about. I'm actually more. How do you pay your cell phone bill? I don't know why that keeps popping to my mind.
I do come up with a part time work here from here and there.
Oh, okay, all right.
I'm one of those guys that hey, I'll come and mow your yard as long as you know Pedro isn't doing it for you.
Oh dear.
You know?
All right, Richard. All right. Listen, I don't want to use up any more of your minutes.
Well, we know two things about him. We know he has a radio, and we know he has a cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Rob in Inglewood. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Excuse me, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Let me clear my throat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stephanie, I would really advise for you to... All these Democratic congressmen, I think you should really deliver that Scooby-Doo voice box to every congressman. Because every time when these crazy lunatics at the town meeting ask something that doesn't make any freaking sense, that should there be the response. And in addition, it's like, why? I don't understand. Why can't, you know, I think the Democrats should be a little bit more combative.
Well, listen.
I hear you. Like yelling and screaming at him. It's like, okay, you like the guy with the $99 trillion. Okay, well, where'd you get that fact? USA Today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if they just yell out the name of a paper, you'll go, oh, well, then
it must be true.
Exactly. It's like it's not legitimate, and it's like, you know, lady, as a representative, it's like, you know, come on, you guys, you need to calm down and just. You know, and you're saying things that don't make any sense. Yes, I'm supposed to represent you, but you at least come with something that is legitimate, something that is truthful, instead of all this nonsense yelling and screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right. Senator Arlen Specter, facing more jeers and taunts during another town hall, he sought to diffuse tensions about health care reform with a few jokes. See, I think he's probably listening to us, Chris, and he knows that everything is better with a slide whistle. At one point, he jokingly booed himself as a way of poking fun at the reaction he was... I don't know why I just would give anything to see Arlen Specter doing that.
But I want to tell you...
He once finished second, you know, Jim, in the Washington Celebrity Stand-Up Comedy Contest. He said, I was able to find a few lighter moments to ease up some of the pressure. Earlier on Wednesday on the early show, he said he thinks people who have been disrupting town hall meetings are not necessarily representative of America, but should be heard. That's going to be all over What the Fox tonight. Oh, they're not real Americans. But I think what he's saying is absolutely right. This is what we're saying.
Yeah.
It's not that some people don't have real concerns about health care reform, but the people that are drowning out these meetings are sent and organized by right-wing groups just to disrupt. So I think, you know, that's what gives me some hope. Is the fact that he's saying it may not be representative of what's actually happening in America. Michelle Malkin.
Yeah. Hmm. Exposing the lie about the astroturfing is very important. And I spent a lot of time today on my own blog talking about these Obamacare human stage props that Organizing for America and HCAN have put forth.
I see.
So it's Obama.
So people that are for health care reform that are fake. I see. Okay, 57 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Elliot Engel, the pit bull of health care reform, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. The pit bull of healthcare reform, Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat of the great state of New York, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Faye and Tulsa did, of all the signs that you see at these town halls, here's one we can believe in. Obama, bring back Arrested Development.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. Although it looks like an Arrested Development movie is a go. So I think Obama worked his magic there.
Mm-hmm. One of your favorite series.
It is my favorite television series of all time.
Might as well get your issue out there while people are yelling.
That's my issue.
All right. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, says he doesn't think people will make their decisions on the yelling, etc.
I don't think the president believes, though, that when all is said and done, that that most people will make their decisions on something that is false and something that has been said is false.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Never underestimate the dump.
Yeah, unless in case you happen to be negotiating with somebody that's actually one of the people telling the lies, like Senator Chuck Grassley.
There's some fear because in the House bill, there's counseling for end of life.
That's it.
From that standpoint, you have every right to fear. You shouldn't have counseling at the end of life. You ought to have counseling 20 years before you're going to die.
Huh?
You ought to plan these things out. And, you know, I don't have any problem with things like living wills, but they ought to be done within the family.
Yeah.
We should not have a government program that determines you're going to pull the plug on grandma.
Can we finally stop talking about this bipartisan crap?
Yeah.
Because they're all quislings. They say they'll do one thing and then they turn around.
He knows very well that it is an option to talk to your doctor.
Because he helped to write the
bill. Yeah.
Should you have the misfortune to not be psychic enough to actually know when it's exactly 20 years before you're going to die, maybe you should have the option to still talk to your doctor.
And,
we're saying.
Senator Grassley, not everybody has a nuclear family with which to talk about end-of-life decisions.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you're making a grand assumption.
And a lot
there.
Of people have nuclear families who hate them and who would like to kill them.
Well, yeah.
All right. Wow. Even somebody on the Fox News, on the Britt Baer Show, with a warning for the Republicans as the economy improves.
Republicans have to retool their talking points, too, because I think they're getting caught blaming the president for the economy, and you're likely to see some kind of uptick.
Uh-oh. Yeah, who was it that we played earlier? Oh, Mitch McChinless, Jim, said the economy's better, but it's not because of Obama.
Oh, no.
But we're all happy about it.
Clearly, it's President Reagan acting from the grave. The economy.
Yes.
It's the only rational.
It's finally trickled down. That's what it is. Everything's finally true. This is when it was designed to trickle down. Was now.
Thank you for voting for him, Stephanie.
Yeah.
See, I saved America by peeing in the shower and voting for Ronald Reagan. The president had a big White House party yesterday to celebrate. Sonia Sotomayor is the first U.S. Supreme Court, first Latino justice. Sonia Sotomayor.
I am deeply humbled by the sacred responsibility of upholding our laws and safeguarding the rights and freedoms set forth in our Constitution. I ask not just my family and friends, but I ask all Americans to wish me divine guidance and wisdom in administering my new office.
I'm sure most of us will, except for some of the right-wing lunatics at the town halls who will wish you, brown people!
Well, we can't tell what they'd wish her because they just keep screaming.
Yes. Wow, if you think they're screaming at the town halls, it's a good thing my mom doesn't live in Baldwinville. Because they have just put a stop to senior gambling.
Oh.
Seniors will no longer be allowed to play card games for money at the village-owned Canton Woods Senior Center.
Wow. Does your mom gamble?
Oh, my mom lives to steal money from old ladies at bridge.
Really?
Oh.
I didn't know you could bet on bridge.
My mom is a shark.
Really?
My 86-year-old Republican mom.
Well, she's a political wife, of course. Yeah, she probably learned that.
All right. You know, if things get any worse in the economy, here's what I may do. Because, you know, I began my career as a dancer.
At the Itchy Kitty in Reseda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Georgia police arrest woman they say was operating an illegal strip club in her basement. Who knew that was illegal? Oh, no. Police investigating a noise complaint arrested a 28-year-old woman they said was operating a illegal strip club in her basement and garage. They said they found a shot or a sign at the home reading $1 Jello shots.
Cool.
And minors drinking alcohol when they investigated. Ah. Whew. GTK, didn't know it was illegal. I got to get home early and take down a couple of signs.
I don't even think you have a basement.
I do.
Yeah.
I could easily buy, you know, put up a disco ball and a stage and I'm good to go.
Okay.
All right. Jim, am I allowed to do a story? This isn't, nothing happened to the man's, the man's genital is fine. There was no mutilation, so you won't have to do America's funniest vaginal mishaps, right?
Okay.
Oh, boy.
There was glue, but it was
Oh, this is awesome. I love this story.
Jim doesn't like it when I do stories about male genital, you know.
Whatever.
Stop. A Wisconsin man who thought he was joining his lover at a motel for an afternoon tryst was instead blindfolded and bound while she and three other women, including his wife, berated him over his infidelity. Four of the women have been charged with false imprisonment in the romance revenge scheme, and one of them is accused of sexual assault for allegedly supergluing his genitals to his stomach.
Ow.
The documents indicate the man tied up and securely glued was confronted by the women asking, which one do you love more? Who do you want to grow old with? I'm going to guess not the one that glued his to his stomach.
Severely glued?
Yeah.
Does it say severely?
Securely glued.
Oh, securely. Okay.
Securely glued.
Okay.
I'm just guessing he did not pick the one that did that. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, just pour a little nail polish remover on it. It's fine.
Sounds like something you know something about. Huh. Renee in Charlotte.
Has this ever happened
would you
to
like
you?
To tell that story? Renee in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes. You know, all of us are struggling with those people who still believe the media fantasy about our health care because they've never had to deal with it. And so they want to believe everything works. And, you know, a lot of them won't even sit down to watch a movie like Sicko. But, you know, if a lot of us could dust off our old copy of John Grisham's The Rainmaker, we could get them by stealth. Because if y'all remember this movie that has big stars, Matt Damon, John Voight, and Danny DeVito, it's all about a woman who paid her insurance premiums and how the insurance company didn't pay and let her son die. So, you know, that can be a real good teaching tool at this time, like I say, by stealth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, by the way, one of our very favorite...
Right-wing hypocrites!
You know that crazy Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann?
Yes.
Her son has joined one of them, their re-education camps, as she calls them. Her son, Harrison, has joined Teach for America, part of what the Minnesota Republican considers a dreaded government re-education camp called AmeriCorps. Back in April, she warned of expansion of the program. Ooh, scary. Designed to get young people involved in community service.
Oh, that's like being a community
organizer.
Organizer.
Like the president.
Activist Commie Kenyon. Boom!
She said the real concern is that there are provisions for what I would call re-education camps for young people, where young people have to go and get trained in a philosophy that the government puts forward, and then they have to go and work in some of these politically correct forums. It's very concerning. As a parent, I would have a very, very difficult time seeing my child do this.
Oh, dear.
Ha ha!
Paranoid much?
I guess she, wasn't really paying attention to what her...
what her family
doing.
Is doing.
I wonder if his re-education is complete yet. Nathan in Vancouver, Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Nathan.
Hi. The thing I wanted to say is that I've experienced the horrors of single-payer health care, and I took my I married a woman while I was stationed in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted to have her children off base, and we did. And, it, you know, the standard stay after the childbirth was 7 to 10 days.
Uh-huh.
They fed her. They carried the baby into her. My son fell off the bed shortly after when he was about 3 weeks old. We took him in the middle of the night, got a CAT scan and a comprehensive exam for like $50.
It
was awesome care, and it was affordable. I've never personally heard anybody from a country that Japan is a mix of single payer and government hospitals as well, but this was a private hospital.
The only place you hear horror stories about single payer is on the Fox News and the right wing radio. People that have actually been to those countries generally have nothing but good things to say. Yeah, how many more stories do we need like that, you know? I mean, unbelievable. How long, because, you know, I'm a childless loser.
Mm-hmm.
But some women, I'm sure, can call and say how long you get to stay now, according to your insurance company here in the States. What, it's like 10 minutes after you give birth?
Come on, get out of bed.
Get out, you lazy whore. Should have kept your legs shut in the first place. Get out.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's go.
Stephanie.
I'm saying, I think it literally is like a day. Someone can call and tell me, I'm sure. Eric in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Eric.
How you doing?
Good.
Now, the comment I wanted to make was this right-wing attack on these town hall meetings is classic, and the way their explanation is just pathetic. It is 1932 National Socialist tactics, and what they do is they disrupt these meetings, but they try to guise it as that being the American way and the acceptable form of protest. What they don't understand is that the best way to protest is allow both sides to get their information out there, be it town hall or whatever, and then have a staged protest where it's an informed protest, but to disrupt the flow of information.
Thank you. Well, Eric, I just made this point to a caller earlier today who said, oh, the left wing is loud at protests. It's like there is a difference between protests outside and a town hall meeting, which is explicitly to get questions answered from your representative.
Right.
You know, and these groups, like I say, that are sending people specifically to disrupt, not to have a conversation.
Because the memos exist.
That's a time-honored tactic by the National Socialists. You can see it coming. And, you know, and it just cracks me up that they claim that this is they want less government. You know, I don't have a problem with government in my life because I kind of like the fact that the roads are paved and I can call the police and the fire department and they'll show up within 3 minutes. And I turn a light switch on, the lights come on. You know, I understand all that.
Yeah, when your house is on fire, you sure don't mind those fancy socialist government programs, do you?
Exactly. And I don't mind all these. Exactly. It's not government that's the problem. It's bad government.
Yep.
That's the problem.
There you go. All right. Let's go to Mick in Kentucky. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Mick.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm glad to see the American public is finally, like, paying attention to politics instead of, like, having their head in the sand, like, for a few years. But
yeah. Well, that's the only good news, it seems to me, in some of these polls, Mick, is that they're, you know, most people are paying close attention to this.
The poor don't pay their bills. They have programs. The rich have their hospitals and their doctors. This is all for the middle class, and the poor middle class are being led around. This is basically a racist thing. They're so sick and tired of the welfare system breaking down that they think it's going to happen to the health system. Well, you're getting taxed wherever you go. You get whatever you do. It's nickel and dime here and there. They might take 50% of it away from you in Europe, but you know what? You get something back, and 50% that you have in your pocket, you keep.
Right, right. Well, our healthcare system, that's what I made this point yesterday. It's costing us all money. This is not about helping poor people, you know, fixing our system.
They don't want to say, like, you know what, the welfare, there's so many people having kids on the welfare and blah, blah. They really don't want to say that. People are still, you might have a black president, it's still very racist. They're sick and tired of seeing their money go to, like, you know, hot home programs and stuff. Like the guy called in, the homeless guy, he has better health care than I do. I work 7 days a week and I work 3 jobs. And then people tell me, like, well, if you don't like it, why don't you go to another country or back to where you came from? It's a good job George Washington didn't say that just a few years ago. Hey?
All right. Yep, absolutely. All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, you'll never guess who's back as a Republican presidential candidate, perhaps. I'll tell you when we come back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Where is Stephanie Miller Avenue?
Oi! You're on it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tom in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Stephanie, thanks. I want to be the official end-of-life counselor of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why, thank you.
I'm a member of the Association of Oncology Social Work and Death Education in the United States. And
that
I've
sounds
been there
cheery.
For 15 years. I know a lot of dead people.
but you literally see dead people.
I do this work every day. I've been doing it for 15 years, and it's not about forcing people one way or the other. It really is about giving people information to know that they can choose something. It's not about right or wrong, and focusing on the quality of their life. And if anyone who wants to come spend a day with me and see this at work, I think they would definitely jump on the bandwagon and be in favor of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's about quality of life.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Probably not the best place for take your kid to work day, but...
Right. No. Right. Yeah. Well, neither is this place.
That's why we have no kids.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's go to Linda in Columbus went to a town hall. Hey, Linda.
Yes.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Steph. Senator Sherrod Brown held a town hall meeting here in Columbus, Ohio yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We were there. It went really well, and which means it's not going to make the national news. So
yeah,
that's
right.
I'm calling to tell you about it.
And that's because he has a gravelly don't with me voice.
He was masterful. This man knows how to handle a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
There were about 220 people in the room and two more rooms full, same number elsewhere, overflow crowds. And two-thirds, I'd say, of the people were all supporters. One-third were opponents. And, you know, people were muttering stuff and telling people to sit down or, you know, what's your point and things like that. But basically, we realized after the thing was over that the entire point of the opposition really was simply ideological. They didn't have specific instances or points that they were, you know, curious about or worried
right.
about. It was very, a couple guys actually mentioned the founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
One older man stood up and mentioned the Weimar Republic of Germany. You know, it was just very, very ideological. The rest of us all had specific points on why this needs to
right.
be done.
Well, and that's
so
the problem,
really
is many
well.
Of the, what they're yelling, are, you know, are incorrect or things that aren't in the bill. I don't know if you heard this one we played from Ben Cardin. Some guy yelled out, you're going to make the debt $99 trillion.
I know.
What?
And
what?
Yeah, yeah. They really, it truly is a mindset on the opposition side as opposed to dealing with facts, dealing with the problems as they are.
Yep. All right, Linda. Thank you for that. Jim in Mama's hometown of Lackport, up the transit from Cheektowaga and Tonawanda and Lackawanna. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have two points that I'd like to point out if I can. Love your show.
Thank you.
First of all, these polls. I mean, you hear all over the place where, oh, the polls are falling. Well, my wife and I sit and we wonder, who the hell are they calling? They never call us.
Right.
And the other thing was the thing about this guy that showed up with his gun at the president's town hall the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Our attitude is, who are they kidding? Nobody. We all know that if it had been a man of color and George Bush was doing that town hall, he would have had the crap beaten out of him and been thrown in jail
mm-hmm.
and not appearing on TV.
Yep.
The fact is, this person, in our opinion, tried to incite being removed or having his weapon taken away so that the wing nuts could start saying that they're taking away our guns. But it didn't happen. It backfired.
Yep, exactly. And there's one of, you know, Glenn Beck or whoever's talking points. They do. Obama's trying to get your guns.
Mm-hmm.
28 minutes after the hour. What we need now is a pit bull of health care reform. Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat of the great state of New York, next on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's fine. Like wine, she drinks it all the time.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone
33
number.
33 what?
33 Millers after the hour.
1-800... 33 Miller beers, yeah.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, you know, every day it's just somebody having to fight to get their reputation back on this healthcare thing. The you know, Rahm Emanuel's brother,
mm-hmm.
he is a doctor who has actually spent his life opposing euthanasia and working to increase care for dying patients, has a sister with cerebral palsy. He's the one that they're basically calling Obama's deadly doctor that would pull the plug on grandma. And,
yeah.
Whatever.
So, and this is the guy that Glenn Beck took wildly out of context on his little comedy show or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
He did the little skits with the charts and everything to completely misrepresent.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's having to speak out and claim his good name back. If only there was someone else in the middle of the fray that could... What? Why? Who is it, Jim?
Hey, from the great state of New York, it's Representative Elliot Engel.
It's the pit bull of health care reform.
That's right.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Good morning. I feel like I'm a regular on the show.
Yes.
I do, too. I love it.
I do, too.
You're like Cliff on Cheers or something. Now, Congressman, we're having more town hall craziness every day. Do you feel like this is getting better or worse out there?
Well, I can tell you, it looks, if you just turn on the TV, it looks like it's getting worse, and it has some ugly reminders of 1994. But, I go out in my district. Now, doesn't mean that there aren't some people there who were putting up notices and saying all kinds of crazy things, but I did a couple of senior citizen meetings yesterday, and did a small business one the day before. And once you explain to people what it really is, people are fine with it. I think most people understand that we need to have health care reform, that the current system is not sustainable. And they ask the questions. For instance, you just mentioned Rahm Emanuel's brother. Well, that was a question that was asked of me. Didn't he say this and didn't he say that? And people turn on, Fox or whatever it is, and they hear this and they think it's the truth.
Yep. Well, that's you were mentioned in an article about that you received hundreds of calls from older people eager to understand how they're going to be affected. That's what we're seeing. Politico reports Democrats have a senior citizen problem. Frustrated older Americans are packing town halls on health care. They're incredibly passionate about their Medicare benefits. Polls show senior citizens largely disapprove of health care reform ideas. And, of course, they vote in larger numbers than any other demographic. What is the main thing you feel like they're afraid of that is being put out there?
Oh, that we're going to touch their Medicare. That's really what it is. It's, when I explain to people that this is just not going to affect them at all, then they feel comforted by it. But they hear all this and they don't know, and there's all kinds of just questions out there. And people generally figure, well, if I like my health care basically now, what do we need any changes for? Let's just keep everything the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, President Obama took that head on the other day. I mean, he said, period, we're not talking about cutting Medicare benefits. I think what they're confusing is that they're talking about finding savings in Medicare, right?
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. And I explained, and again, once I explained it was fine. Nobody was rude. People had pointed questions, and once they were answered, people were satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I feel that, that's really the way to go. You look at some of these town hall meetings, and people are just either going in to disrupt it deliberately, or even if they live in the district and they feel they're against this, I mean, shouting people down or saying the things that people have been saying to all inspectors and others is just disgraceful.
Well, I mean, I think we were just playing something. I think it was from Ben Cardin's town hall. But the hard thing is it would be different if, we had one set of facts and then we're arguing about what to do. But somebody was yelling, this is going to put us in debt $99 trillion. And he just kept yelling it.
Yeah.
It said he read that somewhere.
Or people who were yelling, I don't want the government interfering in my Medicare.
Right.
I mean, that's just, people just don't. There's a disconnect, and of course it's fed and fanned by the Becks and the Limbaughs and others, and the insurance companies. Of course, the insurance companies don't want any change, and they didn't want it in '94. They don't want it now, and they're fanning the fires. I mean, I think I'm happy that President Obama is going around. I told David Axelrod that I thought that Obama was the best weapon, but of course you look at his poll numbers and they're sinking as well.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, I think that I'm not such a big fan of bipartisanship anymore on health care reform. I don't know about you. It seems to me when you have Senator Chuck Grassley, who is one of the people negotiating health care, stand up and tell the same lie at a town hall yesterday that, oh, yeah, there are going to be death panels. You're right to be afraid of that. What do you say to that when he knows very well that's not true?
Well, it's irresponsible, and that's why I think the Democrats need to pass a bill, health care bill. There are three, as you know, and we need to put them together and come out with one and pass it and say this is our product, and then let the Senate do whatever they want to do. But I think right now what's really happened is that you know, the frenzy that's gone on. It sort of takes a life of its own. And we need to fight back. I mean, Democrats need to fight back, and not even Democrats, people who really understand that we need to have health care reform in this country, we need to fight back. And for some reason, we're just standing there and letting the other side throw all the punches, and we're sort of fending them off. And I don't think that's what we should do. I think we ought to be taking the offensive. We ought to be saying why we need health care reform in this country, and we ought to just be taking that to the people. That's what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like we're doing it right now, and I really don't know why.
Well, Congressman, when you say you know, the president needs to get behind a plan, I mean, when should he do that? Because that does seem like one of the problems, is that he's, in my opinion, given Congress too much leeway. All people see is all this infighting. They don't really know, you know, there's not really one plan. And no offense, Congress isn't really popular. You know, so the problem is, you know, I think at some point it needs to be clear what the president wants.
I know, but if you remember, Stephanie, in 1994, it was just the opposite. People mm-hmm. criticized Clinton at the time for having the plan and not letting sort of Congress work its will. So this time they chart it the other way, and you're having the same thing. I mean, the bottom line is there's a lot of money invested in nothing happening in this country. The insurance companies are willing to spend whatever they need to spend in order to block this. The Republicans, and I remind people, these are the same people that were against Social Security, way back when. They were against Medicare and Medicaid in the 60s, and now they're against this because they like it just the way it is, and they don't want to have any kind of change. 47 million Americans that have no insurance. People say, well, that's not me, but it will be you if we sit and do nothing. The 47 will go to 50 and 60 and 70 and 80,
mm-hmm.
and that's what people just don't understand, and we have to make people understand that the current system is not sustainable,
yep.
and if we do nothing, lots and lots of other people, including people who are opposing this change, are going to be without any kind of health care insurance.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it just couldn't be clearer as time goes on that, you know, they really are just interested in defeating the president politically. I don't know if you heard Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday,
no.
You know, talking about what we all can agree on, the economy is getting better.
I don't think the actions of the administration have had a whole lot to do with this. But look, if the economy is getting better, we're all happy about that.
We're all happy. But
unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way they wanted to blame Obama. He was in office for 1 month, and they were blaming him, you know, and Obama inherited George Bush's mess. So it's just ludicrous.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. He can't win. So now the economy, you know, by all, you know, indications, getting better. But, of course, he had nothing to do with that. You
right.
know, a month ago he was ruining the economy, and now it's getting better, but it's not him.
You know, the Republicans are the party of no. Everything is just no. And I just think that we have to go on the offensive. We've got to let people know what we're doing. I mean, we're not saying that we're for health care because it, you know, we think it benefits us in any way. It benefits the American people. It's something that we have to get a handle on, and we have to do, or else we're going to be in trouble.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman Elliot Engel, one of our very personal favorites, Democrat of the great state of New York. Thanks for taking time for us again.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's always a pleasure.
All right,
thank you.
You too. There he is, Cliff from Pierce. He's a regular. Oh, by the way, I knew I'd get an answer to my question. Elise in San Diego, a guy said his wife gave birth in Japan and she got 10 days, was it, in the hospital? Elise, how long do you get here in the States?
Basically, you get 1 to 2 days if you have a natural childbirth, and then you get another couple extra days if you happen to have a C-section or complications.
Uh-huh.
Then they just throw you in a car with your baby and wave goodbye to you. So that's how it works.
Thank you, Elise. All right. See, I know that's the thing. I may be a childless loser, but people that listen have procreated.
I think I stayed in the hospital 4 days when I was born.
Lazy. 42 minutes.
Slacker.
But I also had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck when I
came
out.
That explains a lot why you're so high strung. Okay. See, if you were born in Japan, you wouldn't be so high-strung and anal. 43 minutes after the hour.
But that's why I'm a producer.
All right, 43 minutes after the hour, I promised who the fresh new face in the Republican Party is for the presidential sweepstakes next time as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Wendy in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. My daughter had a baby last year, and she stayed in the hospital for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
What she didn't get told was that her insurance company had canceled the contract with the hospital.
Oh.
And she didn't find that out until the insurance company sent her a check for $5,000 and said this is what we would have paid the hospital if we'd had a contract with them.
Oh.
And then when she called and called and called the hospital, she never, ever got an answer out of them. She never got a bill out of them. What she ultimately got was a call from a bill collector who wanted $12,000.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So she gave them the five, and they don't have $7,000 to pay for the rest of it, you know.
Wow.
I'll repossess my granddaughter someday. But the good news is with all this...
We're coming to repossess your child.
Yeah. With all this collection paperwork and everything, my granddaughter has a lot of documentation that she was born in the United States when she becomes president of the United States.
Well, that is
there
true.
You go. At least she has a birth certificate in a baggie.
That's right.
That's worth $12,000. All right, honey. Thank you. Let's go to Rick in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Anyway, I have a question that everybody's complaining about how we're going to pay for this health care and all that. What about a flat tax? What is the good, what is bad about flat tax?
Because yeah, a guy from Canada called yesterday and said they have to pay $750 a year.
I heard
that's a graduated tax up there. That's not a flat tax.
Right. Healthcare. But what's so wrong about a flat tax? You got all these people trying to be tax evaders and all that. You got to buy stuff to exist. When you buy stuff, there should be a national sales tax for X amount of percent, whatever it is, and that's it.
Yep.
And then nobody can cheat the IRS. And look how many people, how many jobs. Oh, wait,
that would impact the poor, though.
Yeah, that would affect charitable giving. People mm-hmm. wouldn't be encouraged to give to charities anymore. There are a lot of things wrong with it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. That's why.
All right.
Yeah. Well, no. No, it's a completely valid point.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. And we better think of some new taxes, Chris, because apparently health care is going to put us $99 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. And 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah.
And 99 Luftballons.
Somebody actually yelled at a town hall that it's going to cost us, it will put us $99 trillion.
$99
trillion. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's hear Rain Man again.
The question is, under your and the Congress's involvement in our lives, you've racked up $12 trillion of debt.
Yeah.
You're adding to
it
now.
Structurally,
the USA Today report put this out. We're $99 trillion in debt.
What?
How are you going to look at my children in their eyes and tell them they're going to have a
That's
better future?
That's not even possible.
With $99 trillion.
Everybody's saying it.
With me. $99 trillion.
If you say it enough, it'll make it true.
Yeah.
999999 gazillion bajillion definitely dollars.
Definitely. I read it in USA billion. Today while I was watching Wapner. Yeah.
Definitely USA Today.
99
definitely,
trillion.
Definitely. Uh-oh, fart.
Wow. Chris, the official tongue-tied Boeing machinist of the Stephanie Miller Show, mm-hmm. says, Steph, I was at a healthcare meeting and a guy started talking about how Obamacare pays for abortions, euthanasia, and illegals.
Oh, my.
It pays for none of that.
Okay.
Shut down a lie right there.
Mm-hmm.
That was
all
easy.
Right. More from the Senator Ben Cardin town hall.
You're not putting us and our children and grandchildren in debt.
I think that the Obama administration has already started to restore trust in health care by the...
Pell terrorists! Kill them! Shikami Nazi!
That's helpful.
Okay. All right. Thank God there's a fresh new face in the Republican Party who's going to be on the list of a potential 2012 Republican presidential candidates. And that is Senator Manondorg, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is throwing his hat in the ring.
Manondorg?
Dog. Manondorg. Did I say Dorg?
I
said Dorg. I didn't correct you.
Politico has learned Santorum will visit First in the Nation, Iowa, this fall for a series of appearances before the sort of conservative activists who dominate the state's Republican presidential caucuses. Your voice becomes more amplified when you go to a place like Iowa or New Hampshire, Santorum said. Yeah, that's what we want is more. Didn't he take a whooping?
He took a drubbing.
He lost by almost 20 points.
And yeah, everybody remembers that picture of his daughter crying during the concession speech.
Yes. What's up with these guys' egos that they think, aha?
Yeah, like Newt Gingrich and, you know, people who've been vanquished, you know, got a big old drubbing, are coming back and thinking that they're important.
This is what he said. This is my time, frankly.
He said one of the things we've seen from Iowa caucuses is candidates that appeal to the base do very well. That, maybe he's watching Oily Taint and the rest of the lunatic fringe that has become the Republican Party. He's like,
you go with that.
This is my time.
This is my moment, my once in a lifetime.
Here's an entertaining edition of Republicans Eating Their Own.
Okay.
Have you heard the news about Dick? Cheney. According to the Washington Post, he will uncork his frustration with Bush. The statute of limitations has expired on many secrets, according to the former vice president.
Oh boy.
And it's time for another episode of Republicans Eating Their Own.
Can I have my Dick Vader music, please? Cheney's disappointment with the former president surfaced recently in one of the informal conversations he's holding to discuss his book. In the second term, he felt Bush was moving away from him, said one participant in the meetings. He said Bush was shackled by the public reaction and the criticism he took. Bush was more malleable to that. The implication was that Bush had gone soft on him, or rather Bush had hardened against Cheney's advice. He'd showed an independence that Cheney didn't see coming. It was clear that Cheney's doctrine was cast iron strength at all times, never apologize, never explain, and Bush moved toward the conciliatory. There is sting in Cheney's critique because he views concessions to the public sentiment as moral weakness. I see. Wow. So not the unnecessary war of the torture. That wasn't immoral.
No.
It was moving away from that that showed up moral weakness on the part of the...
Need more torture.
Thank you. Oh, you had to drain your coffee cup first, I understand.
Yeah.
Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
Yes, hi. Yeah, I just want to say, you know what, I'm very pleased with my health insurance and everything, and I don't feel like compromising any of that to help out a bunch of people that most of whom could just go to a county hospital and get health care. So you guys lie when you say that.
You're talking about the emergency room.
No, yeah.
Okay, first of all, Jim, if you like your doctor and your insurance plan, you can keep exactly what you have.
Nonsense.
Secondly,
what do you mean nonsense?
Secondly, the people that are going to the emergency room that they use that for primary care are exactly what is driving up all of our costs. What is so hard to understand about that?
What's driving up our costs is the fact that we spend about...
Taxpayers pay for people that use the emergency rooms.
Yeah. How many billions of dollars do we spend for health care on illegal aliens, too, in this country?
Oh, that
should be used?
God.
What? We don't spend money for health care for illegal aliens.
So when they come across here and have their children, we don't pay for those deliveries?
Well,
you pay for any... You just said, people can go to the emergency room. Who cares? So you're talking about the same people. It doesn't matter who you are if you go to an emergency room. The taxpayers pay for it.
Most of my clients that I represent go to county hospital and they get great health care. They don't need health insurance, okay? They are getting care as it is.
Okay, people that go to the emergency room that don't have health insurance, the taxpayers pay for that.
I'm talking about county hospital. But.
All right. I have a headache in my eye. All right. Yes, Jim, sorry.
But, he's talking about the county hospital, like, you know, we used to have with County USC down there, which had all kinds of problems. But I'm not exactly sure who's paying for that. Is that also...
I don't know. This is exactly what I was saying about them playing people's worst instincts. They're like, I don't want to have to help anyone else. This is not about helping other people, necessarily.
It's about getting your health costs down, even if it comes from a private insurance plan.
Yes, because that's why you're paying...
Oh my God! My
you know who's going to need who? It's lucky she has a fancy government health care plan.
Who?
Hillary Clinton, because she's going to break her other elbow when she sees the new Rasmussen poll, which shows that Bill is more popular than she is. 58%
He's not the Secretary of State. I am.
Oh dear. Yeah, that was a bit.
58% approval rating for him. 53% for her. Oh dear.
Oh boy.
All right.
Yeah, I rescued those two girls.
All right, 57 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.